The A to Z of Doctor Who. A. Absorbaloff. V. Some people will tell you that 2006's Love and Monsters was the very worst episode of Doctor Who ever. A Doctor Light comedy episode forged in hell by madmen, smeared in excrement and slurry. These people will go on to tell you that the very worst and most contemptible part of the whole sorry nonsense was Northern British nostalgia monkey Peter Kay wearing a tight rubber suit and a loincloth, running a bit like a crap fatty. That is what some people will tell you. And that the monster was designed by a child, of all things. Me, I quite like that episode. Ace. To many, Sophie Aldred's Ace remains a powerful memory of late 80s girl power, as the plucky Perivalian smacked a Dalek upside the head, armed with only a special baseball bat. An iconic role model of feminist empowerment and a companion who really kept the Doctor honest and proved in many ways to be his equal. This teenage working-class tearaway was memorably portrayed by late 20-something middle-class actor Sophie Aldred, of whom less charitable critics will imply that she was somewhat out of her depth in the role, and indeed in virtually any role. But people are mean about just about everyone who's ever been in Doctor Who, so don't listen, Soph. Just look at Colin Baker. Just look at Jenny Thomasin. Adipose. Just take this pill and all your fat will drop off. And people fell for that? Seriously? Seriously? Adric. Some people would poke fun at Alzarian stowaway and artful dodger-like Adric. Companion to Tom Baker's Fourth Doctor and Peter Davison's pleasant open-faced fifth. And Josh and rib you about how he was awful, 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 and portrayed by a young man who should never have been allowed to stand in front of a TV camera. But just repeating this sentiment would be easy and lazy, like shooting fish in a barrel. So instead, in order to offer something fresh and new for the jaded listeners out there, I'd like to devote the rest of this entry to listing the many qualities of both Adric and the actor involved, Matthew Waterhouse, that were not completely and utterly awful. Alex Kingston. Doctor Who fans are a contrary bunch. Give them £1 million and they'll grumble it's not in dollars or something. Give them constant change, renewal and innovation and they'll moan that things aren't the same. Give them the knockdown dead stunning Alex Kingston and that indescribable cascade of insane curls and they'll moan that she's in the show too much, her story arc doesn't make sense, her knowing winks and cheeky innuendos are too much for a family show. And the whole bit about the character being able to regenerate is absolute heresy. To these narrow-minded, short-sighted fools, I make the same sound as I do whenever Alex Kingston appears on my TV, which is sort of wistful, gargling whimpers of unalloyed desire. Then often I get a bit of dribble just in the corner of my mouth. Sort of, oh, like that. Lovely. Alien bodies. Opinion is divided on the BBC Eighth Doctor novels because a couple of people didn't think they were completely and utterly awful. One of very few highlights in the 9 years of monthly publishing was the novel Alien Bodies by Lawrence Miles, which bucked the trend in the novel range by actually featuring a couple of original ideas, of which at least three were rather good. Do you need, however, to go back and read it now? No. All-consuming fire. One of the more interesting of the Virgin New Adventures series of novels saw the Seventh Doctor, Ace and Benny, team up with Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. Or, sort of. In a thrilling adventure, Holmes is vital for the first 150 pages, which are set in Victorian London, and then spends the last part of the book, when we move to an alien planet, hopelessly floundering about out of his depth. It's presumably for this reason that in the recent Big Finish adaptation, Holmes is portrayed by Nick, not Canon, Briggs. Alpha Centauri. An accusation often levelled at the Pertwee era is its po-faced humourlessness, but then you see this comedy alien that looked a bit like someone's knob, and the argument is forever deflated. Amy Pond. Amy Legs joined the TARDIS in the episode The 11th Hour, which is pound for pound possibly the best episode of New Who so far, and I'll fight anyone who says different. The flame-haired poutstress shouted and glowered her way through 2.5 series, accompanied by her ineffectual but marvellous husband Rory and her long, long Scottish legs, which many people found distracting. It's very telling that at the moment of his regeneration, Matt Smith's 11th Doctor even enjoyed a small waking daydream where he and Amy Pond had a bit of a snog. Who amongst us cannot claim to have had the same fantasy? Also, it turned out that Amy was River Song's mother. Blimey. Andrew Cartmell. Andrew Cartmell was the visionary script editor of the Sylvester McCoy era, apart from the story Time and the Rani, as he's often quick to point out. He tried his best to steer the show in fresh and exciting directions, despite almost everyone else involved in the production trying their damnedest not to follow him. By season 26, which is good, no, really, it is, his vision was apparent, and the show, while a ratings flop, was at least marching back towards being absolutely brilliant. Cartmell went on to write some great new adventure novels and, like so many of the new adventure writers, is now launching a series of crime novels. This one's about jazz and vinyl, not Evil from the Dawn of Time or anything we've come to associate him with thus far. Cartmell also came up with the eponymous Cartmell Master Plan, which is all to do with how the Doctor is far more than just an ordinary Time Lord. He's Rey's father. He trained Kylo Ren. He taught the young Rassilon to dance and was, for a time, the lead guitarist in Guns N' Roses. Or something, I don't know. Read Lungbarrow. Angels, the Weeping. If they were that clever, they'd just come for us in our sleep. So why haven't they conquered the Earth yet? Jerks. Anthony Ainley. No one really knows anything about the mysterious Anthony Ainley, least of all his unofficial biographer Karen Louise Hollis. Born in 1896, although no one seems absolutely certain, Ainley's only job ever was to play the master, otherwise he was to be found playing cricket. So with two passions in life, cricket and being part of Doctor Who, you'd have thought he was a massive fan of Peter Davison's Fifth Doctor. But no, he kept turning up in the show and trying to kill him. Either with his tissue compression eliminator, his demonic Castrovalvan tapestry, or in the case of Time Flight, by making the Doctor fatally prolapse from laughing at how awful the Master's Khalid disguise was. Ainley went on to bother Doctor 6 and 7 too, before the end of the classic era spelled the end of Ainley's reign of terror. He died in 2004, although no one seems to know very much about this either, so maybe he didn't. Who knows? Two little-known Ainley facts are that he'd always double-take if you mentioned syrup of figs within his earshot, and that his favourite political party from history were the Whigs.